Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon. Our scripture upon which we're going to spend some time reflecting tonight comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 53. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, "Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords." And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him. "Am I some dangerous revolutionary," he asked, "that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns." Up to this point in Luke 22, Judas agrees to betray Jesus in exchange for money. Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples and redefines the experience for them. He predicts his death and predicts Peter's denial. And Jesus tells his followers to have their swords handy, and then they go to pray at the Mount of Olives. Jesus agrees to accept the cup of suffering he is about to receive, and he finds the disciples asleep, even though he asked them to stay awake and to pray. He instructs them to get up so they would not give in to temptation. And that leads us to our first lesson from this evening's scripture, and that's this: people can see the power of God and still stand against it. People can see the power of God and still stand against it. As Jesus said this, the crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12. And Judas walked to Jesus to greet him with a kiss, and Jesus said, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" I'm constantly amazed at the stories in Scripture where people look Jesus right in the eye, even saw some of the miracles that he performed, and despite all that, they could not bring themselves to follow him. For a wealthy young leader Jesus met, it was his wealth that held him back. For some, it was family or business or other things that we would see as legitimately good. It's just they're not when Jesus is calling us to follow something more. Jesus always invited. Some people just wouldn't pay the price to accept the invitation. Judas was with Jesus the whole time. He was entrusted with the ministry's treasury. He had the very best spiritual leader in all of history. He was equipped and empowered towards great success. But we read that Satan entered into Judas, and the people who were conspiring against Jesus took their opportunity. Being a firsthand witness to the miraculous power of Jesus Christ offers no guarantees that we'll experience a saving faith. Miracles give us proof. They provide wonderful signs and evidence of God's power, but that's not the only powerful thing in this world. Fear is powerful. Greed is powerful. Shame is powerful. Sin is powerful. They're so strong, in fact, that no human has been able to defeat these things alone. It would require an act of God. It would require a strength more potent than these temptations and evils, and that strength was found in love. And here's how we get to see that love. Our second lesson is this: Jesus healed someone who was actively trying to arrest him. Jesus healed someone who was actively trying to arrest him. When the disciples saw what was about to go down, they shouted, "Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords." And one of them struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear, and Jesus said, "No more of this," and touched the man's ear and healed him. Jesus told the disciples to bring a couple of swords that they had with them, and then someone who is identified later as being Peter actually uses his. Peter was trying to act in defense of Jesus. These disciples would have been easily outnumbered and certainly would have held fewer weapons than the temple guards who came to enact this arrest. Instead of the denial that Jesus predicted, Peter was willing to get into a battle with this small army, even if it means that he would lose his life. And Jesus ends the fight quickly. I'm sure Peter had immediate regrets about his decision. It couldn't have been dark enough for him to hide his identity with all the witnesses of the temple guard that were there to see this. There was no way to undo what he had just done. Except Jesus. Jesus simply touched the man's ear and he was restored. This man who came to arrest Jesus, who came with swords and clubs, Jesus healed this man. The enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. The enemy came to Jesus that very night with that same intent. But Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. When people are unkind to us and unfair to us, we just want to throat punch folks sometimes, don't we? Or give them a little taste of their own medicine. They spread a rumor about you, you spread some dirt right back. They mistreat something of yours, you damage their something right back. It's only fair, right? But God's not into fair. God is into unfair. God wants Christ's followers to give others what they do not deserve. Peter had to learn that in the garden. He also shared it with any church that would listen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read this follower of Christ, right? Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when someone insults you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. We get to remember, and this is the third lesson for tonight's scripture, darkness gets a moment. Light has eternity. Darkness gets a moment, but light has eternity. Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, the elders who would come for him. Am I some dangerous revolutionary, he asked, that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when darkness reigns. You've seen some rough days, right? Everybody has at some point. We don't have to get into a contest to see who's had the hardest times or darkest valleys. God doesn't want us to start a race to see who has been hurt worst. We've all been hurt, and pain in this life is a reality. But it's temporary. It's temporary. Darkness gets a moment. There are times when the relationship does fall apart. There are times when death does visit our loved ones. There are instances where maybe we don't know how that bill is going to get paid or if we're ever going to be enough. Those moments can seem overwhelming. And many times when we're in the middle of them, it's hard to see past them. But Jesus said something very important here. Darkness just gets a moment. Just a moment. The grave only gets the blink of an eye. Heartbreak only receives a breath. Regret is dust in the wind. And though it seems so hard to turn off the dark, shame will only have a passing second because something is coming. On the other side of your difficult moment or this present darkness, something is coming. Light is coming. And the light of God isn't for a moment. It's forever. And we anticipate the light that Christ won for us when we meet at this table of grace to be reminded of what that victory cost him. And we celebrate it. We heard those words from Scripture about how on that night when Christ offered himself up for us, he gathered with his disciples, the one who would betray, the one who would deny, and yet he took bread and gave thanks to his heavenly Father, and he broke it and shared it with his followers, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it, remembering me." When the supper was finished, he took the cup and, giving thanks to his heavenly Father, he shared it with his followers and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink of it, remembering me." And so as we remember these powerful acts of God through Jesus Christ, we get to offer ourselves with praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with the sacrifice that Christ has offered on our behalf.
And so, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.